Hallelujah. It's good to have you back tonight. God has been so good to us. Did you practice what we learned last week? Let's see if you remember what we learned last week. As I was thinking about this series, and I have been thinking about it a lot for a long time, and I know we have called it Understanding Spirit-Led Prayer, and of course that's always a goal for me. Actually, one of my, just let you in a little secret into my heart's desire, and what I believe the Lord has called me to, is really wrapped up a lot in that word understanding. And that's to help people understand. The Bible says, in all you're getting, get understanding. You know, you can have a lot of knowledge, but if you don't understand what to do with it, if you don't get it, well, then you can really wind up hurting yourself or others, or be discouraged or be a failure. Even with knowledge, if you don't understand. And I believe that God wants to be understood. And I don't guess there's anything I enjoy in my life any more than every little thing more I can understand about Him. That I can understand about Him and His personality. And I can understand about His ways. That I can understand about His kingdom. That I can understand about you. And me in His kingdom and our relationship together, wow, I can't think of anything I treasure more than those insights to understand. But as I pondered on that a little bit, there was something that didn't quite capture at all in that phrase, understanding Spirit-led prayer, didn't quite capture what seemed to be in my heart and what the Lord was pulling on me to share with you. And I got a word for it this week, and that is to mature in prayer. And then this came to me today, and this would be a more hip way to say it. And that is pray like a grown-up. How to pray like a grown-up. Did you ever hear that little prayer? I'm sure most of you in here prayed it at one time. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Now, you know, some kids don't pray the second half of that prayer because it scares them. So they just pray that, now I lay me down to sleep, pray the Lord my soul to keep. But let me see the hands of those that prayed that way last night when you went to bed. And looking forward to that same prayer again tonight. I wasn't looking, really, in case you raise your hand. But you know, that kind of praying won't hold up under pressure. That kind of praying won't help when the pressure's on. And I don't know if you've noticed or not, but there's a lot of pressure out there. And Jesus said, in fact, that the pressure comes, He put it this way, the lust of the flesh, deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, the pressure of other things, all of those things come together. What do? They choke the word. They make it unproductive in your life. And so if you don't have a prayer life that'll stand up under pressure, you're going to get choked out. And you're not going to be effective. And a lot of people, you know, they give up. Their life with God falls apart. And some of them, it can cost you your life. Because everything that we need to know has been provided for us. And so as I was thinking about this time that we have together in these weeks that we have, that really the goal is for us to mature in prayer. Maturing in prayer is not really any different than anything else in God or math or reading or anything. And that is that you take it, you start with foundational things and you build on them. But you never abandon those foundational things, because without the foundational things, you can get off. You can lose sight. You know, it's like this. In the first and second grade, you're learning to add and to subtract and multiply, and those are foundational things. Then you get on up into junior high or college and you're starting to do algebra and so forth. But you know what? You can be working on a mighty powerful equation with lots of complex numbers and theorems and so forth in there, But if you just one time put 2 + 2 = 5, and you make that one tiny little basic mistake, you could blow something up. And so we always want to go back to those foundational things and then grow from them. Hallelujah. Now 1 Peter 2:2 says, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. Two words I want to point out to you. First of all is that word to grow. You know, Jesus said that the whole kingdom of God is as a seed, and when it's planted, it grows it and it becomes. You plant it and it becomes. Plant it and it becomes. There's a growth process in there. He also said that we should bear fruit. So this applies to every part of the kingdom of God. In other words, if you do what it takes to grow anything, you've got to feed it, you've got to water it, and you've got to exercise it for it to grow. So you can do that with love. You do that with faith. You do that with giving. You do it with knowledge. You also do it with strength, and you do it with spiritual power, and you do it in prayer. You're going to have to feed it. You have to water it. You have to use it, and it will grow. You will grow. Your prayer will grow, and it will become. How would we interpret that? Answers. Results. Answers. Results. I don't want to waste my time in prayer just because I didn't know, just because I hadn't grown up enough to know how to do it and how to pray. And the other word for is to long, desire. He said you need to desire to grow up. If you notice that we quit desiring to grow up long about 25 or so? You know, when you're 8, you really can hardly wait to be 10. And then when you're 10, you're thinking an awful lot about 12. When you get to be 12, 13 is very important. You're 13 and 16. Oh, my goodness. Well, maybe 15 because you get your permit. 16, hardly wait to be 16. When you're 16, you just want to be 18 so bad. When you're 18, you want to be 20. And when you're 20, 21 is right next door. Get to be 21. When you're 21, you want to be 25. And you get to be 25 and you say, whoa, wait a minute. So sure about this. And so we start some of that, slow it down just a little bit. You're 25 and can't help it. You're 26 and then you're 27 and you look up and you're 29 and you say, all right, that's it. We're not going any further. And from that point forward, we are 29 and holding on. Never going to add any more numbers on there until you get to be about, I'd say about 80, 85. And then all of a sudden you want everybody to know how old you are. You know, little kids, they're very excited to be 3 or 3 1/2. And you kind of give that up after you're about 5, you know, or 6, until you get to be about 85 or 6. And then all of a sudden you're 85 1/2 and 90. And why? Because the older you get, the more freedom you have to say whatever you want to say. But, you know, it shouldn't be that way spiritually. The reason we don't want to keep growing, aging, maturing physically is because we're not really sure we like how it ends. You know, it's got a termination point to it. But in the spirit, there is no termination point. There is no end. And if there was, think how glorious it would be. But there is no end in our spiritual growth. There is no termination in our spiritual growth. We have our sights on the idea of growing up into God. Woo! So we have to abandon that idea that, number one, I don't need to grow, or number two, that I don't want to. You cannot be a Toys R Us kid in the spirit. We have to want to grow up. Jesus said through Peter, desire to grow. Well, you must desire to grow because you're here, and I'm proud of you. Now, you know, last week we talked about, we're reviewing just a little bit. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says to pray without ceasing. That's intimidating to a lot of people, just the thought of it. Say, well, does that mean to pray without stopping? How do you do that? Well, there is a place where you can stay in such a communion with God in your spirit to spirit, even while your mind works and even while you have conversation and do natural things with people. It can be done. I have done it in blocks of time. I have done it more at some points in my life than others. But I have not arrived at that place to where I can say I have arrived to where I'm constantly in a constant conversation with God. But the first goal is to at least be in such communion and connection with God that if He speaks to me, I can hear it. And that if He alerts me, I can take my cues. But then beyond that, when He says to pray without ceasing, it also would mean to pray and never let it die. Never let it stop. Never ignore it. Never set it aside. Never stop feeding it. Never stop watering it. Never stop using it so that it can bear fruit and continue to grow and expand. Now you might ask yourself, well, Pastor Terry, that sounds wonderful, but I mean, really, what is there to grow in prayer? I'm giving it the 8 weeks. Is there really much beyond that? I mean, do you just kind of get better at it? Or what more is there to talk about in prayer? So I thought I'd just write down a few things that I could think of. What would you grow in prayer? Well, the first thing that comes to my mind is the kinds of prayer. And I just wrote down the things that came to mind. First of all, the prayer of faith, the prayer of agreement, the prayer of consecration, dedication, the prayer of forgiveness, the prayer of intercession, prayer of supplication, prayer of petition, prayer of praise, prayer of pouring your soul out, prayer of giving of thanks, the prayer of binding and loosing. Now you think, oh, well, I could pray all of those things. Well, you find out if you really could pray them, if you could sit down with someone else and explain it to them. If you could pick any one of those and walk it out with somebody else, knowing chapter and verse, well, then you've got a good foundation. If not, then we still have foundational things we could talk about. My goodness, we could talk about all the things that bring us boldness in prayer. We could talk about the expressions of the Holy Spirit in prayer. I just started making a list one time and just thought I would watch for a while as I read my Bible of ways that the Holy Spirit expresses Himself through people in prayer. I found 50. 50! 50 different ways that the Bible says. These weren't things I thought up in my head. These were things I found in the Bible that the Holy Spirit expresses Himself and can use through and in a manner of prayer. Ooh, wow, my goodness. There are things we could talk about in praying in tongues and tongues and interpretation. We could talk about how all the manifestations of the gifts of the Spirit, how they all operate and function within the context of prayer. We could talk about the love of God in prayer, just to name a few things. So I'd say that we could go on and on the rest of our lives learning about things in prayer and growing in all of those different aspects and parts of prayer. What happens as you grow in prayer? You grow in God. You grow in God. What happens when you grow in God? You grow in prayer. It's the most wonderful, wonderful cycle that you grow in God and you grow in prayer, which causes you to grow in God, which causes you to grow in prayer. And the things of God, they're in a circle in the sense that they're unending. And yet it's not like a dog chasing his tail. It's more of a cycle or a circle that ascends. One thing leads to another and another. And the more you see, the higher you go. And the higher you go, the stronger you become. And the stronger you become, the more you can see. And the more you can see, the stronger you become, because the Bible says that when we see Him, we are like Him. Think about that a little bit, it'll part your hair. But now, to grow in anything, it takes time and effort. Do you know, to grow in any kind of relationship, it's got to cost you something? I mean, can you imagine any kind of relationship where it's all one-sided? That's not a relationship, is it? It has to cost you something. You have to lay something down for it. Now, God is so good, He laid it all down before you ever did anything. He gave it all. He laid it all down. But now it's your turn. What are you willing to lay down? What will it cost you? Well, tonight, it's cost you your time. It's cost you your effort. It's cost you money, the gas that put in your car, and the drive you had to make. And maybe some of you, it cost you dinner. You know, maybe you didn't have time to eat. Maybe you had to hurry. Maybe there was something else you didn't get to do. But you made the time, took the time, and made the effort to be here. And because of that, I want to commend you. But I also want to encourage you to continue. When God gave it all, it was not that He gave it all and that ended it, but He gave His all, and His all is always giving. Jesus ever liveth to make intercession for you. And so this ascension, this cycle of up and up and up in God comes because He gave, and you give your time and your effort, and He responds to you. God always responds. What we have to grow in is our ability to recognize it. Did you ever see something? Did you ever realize something about the Lord, whether it was in a service or reading your Bible or maybe the very moment that you got saved, and you think to yourself, did God just come? Did he just now show up? He was always there. He's always available. But somehow something got through to you finally. Your eyes opened and you recognized Him. So a key word here is to continue. Last week, I gave you a little prayer key. And it's not part so much of the lesson that we're learning, but it's a prayer key. Last week, that prayer key was, you have to take control of your flesh. You have to talk to it, not let it talk to you. I tell you that, if there was any one thing that would be a major step in maturing in God or growing up spiritually, it would be that. And when you take charge of your flesh by the Spirit, by the Word, by your own Spirit, the Holy Spirit within you, when you take charge of it and you don't let it talk back to you, you are taking a step in spiritual maturity, and you can grow in that. Because your flesh will come back around later and it'll yell a little louder. It'll want something a little more. You just continue to grow, because wherever sin abounds, the Bible says, or you could even say wherever your flesh abounds, grace has already abounded much more. His grace is sufficient for you. So that was our prayer key last week, is to take control of your flesh. You talk to it, it doesn't talk to you. You're not led by your flesh, led by the Spirit. And your prayer key this week is to continue. Ephesians 6:18 says to pray at all times in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer, with perseverance. To continue. How many times has an answer not come simply because our prayer was not finished? Hallelujah. So, now with that, let's go into our lesson in Matthew chapter 6. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Are you using your faith with me tonight? And I want here. Thank you, Lord. This is a good thing to learn in any service. But particularly, I want you to, on purpose, watch for something in these times we have talking about prayer. You can get into a mode of where there's a teacher teaching and you're taking notes and you're getting the knowledge. And that's fine. But what I want you to watch for is the presence. Now, you remember in Ephesians, we read this last week, and Paul said in Ephesians 3, he said, I am praying for you that God would grant you out of the rich treasury of his glory for you to be filled in your inner man with the height, the depth, the length, the breadth, the width of the love of God, and that you would come to know it and know it with experience, because knowledge with experience is so much better than knowledge without it. So with all of this knowledge, don't let it get into where you've got just a spiritual thinking, that you're just thinking spiritual things with a natural mind. But on purpose by faith. Now, you can just set your faith for it. And the presence of God is here. Do I get a witness? Yes. Don't shut that off. That's what you are looking for. You are looking for the witness of the Spirit. It's not the same every time. I just told you I could find 50 ways that he expresses himself. And that he, but you're looking, learning to recognize him. And he won't always be exactly the same to you every time for a couple of reasons. One, because he's not, even though he's the same, it's not always the same expression. And number two, you'd never grow. He wants you to see something new of him. You remember when Jesse said he went to heaven and the angels, we talked about this when we preached on angels, and how the living creatures, and they circled the throne and they saw God, and as they looked and they circled and they'd look down and they'd say, holy is the Lord. And he knew that for all eternities, every time they circled him, they saw something new. And the only way to describe it at all was to exclaim, holy is the Lord. So we're always watching for his presence. We're always watching for him in whatever way that might be. So now don't turn that off as we look in Matthew chapter 6. Let's look at verse 5. When you pray, you must not be like hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by people. But I tell you, they have their reward already. But when you pray, you go into your private room. King James says closet. Close the door and pray to your Father. Jesus said prayer is to the Father. He says that again down in verse 8. He says, your Father knows. And then in verse 9, he says, so pray like this. Our Father. So if that's his demonstration and that's what he says we should do, then that's the what we should do. But now, in light of what I just said to you about knowledge and experience, about the teaching, don't shut the door on the presence, let me say this to you. To everything, there is a legal side and a vital side. Legal side and a vital side, or a living side. A legal side and a living side. And what do I mean by that? Well, there's the knowledge and then there's the experience. The legal side would be the technical aspect. It would be the legal aspect of it. The vital or living side would be, how does that work in my life, and how can that be a living reality to me? For example, we talked before about flying. I think it's one of the most wonderful examples. The laws of physics. There are laws to physics. Law of lift, law of gravity, And those are, they have their physical, natural laws, and they do not, they don't change. They're there. Then there, that's the legal side. That's that, the this is the way it works side. But then there's a living aspect of that, so that when someone has the knowledge of those physical laws, those natural laws, and they have the knowledge of it, and they have an ability, knowledge of the of what it takes to manage and work with those laws, then they can work the laws so that they can take flight. Now, to take it even one step further, there are people who can fly an airplane and fly it safely. I've flown with some people that are like that, but they can't just make an airplane fly, make an art out of it. My dad is that way. I'm telling you, when he flies, you just feel like you're gliding. You can feel the way the airplane goes. You know, and I've been with people that can get the plane up and get it down, but I was holding on tight the whole time. As if that would help. There are people that just know how to make that aircraft do things. There are people that understand the laws and the rules. Okay? And you go to school, you train. Where's Cody? He's around here. He's over here. He's in school. He shares with us some of the things that he's learning about and learning all the things. You know, what do you do when the plane stalls? Well, it might be different in this plane than it is with this plane. But then you get to a place where you have all that information and that knowledge, and you can get into a situation, and the situation might not be exactly what you learned, but when you have the knowledge and an understanding, when that airplane and flying it takes on a living aspect about it, to take hold of that plane and just make it do things didn't know it can do. Just, we might call it the touch. You know, you can mix yellow and blue and make green. That's a rule. That always happens. You put yellow and blue together, you come up with green. But there are people that just somehow have an understanding of that. And somehow all kinds of shades and varieties and ways to take that green and put it on a brush, and it begins to express things, and it comes to life. Because this knowledge and this information is taken into the hands and connected with understanding, and it comes alive. When Jesus said, you must pray to the Father, you don't want to get so caught up in the technicality of that, because I guarantee you, you cannot wrap your mind around all the reasons for that. You can't wrap your mind around all of that. And if you get caught up in the technical aspect of that, then you may crash and burn. But we understand that we're to pray to God, and it helps us to mature in our thinking when we pray. That we're not just shooting something out there and some being or someone, and we don't know who and where it goes, and then there are times you just start spitting out prayers because it makes you feel better, but not because there's any connection and perhaps not even any hope of an answer, certainly no confidence of an answer. You're just throwing it out there. My grandfather said that as he grew up in the church, he said, we would just shoot shotgun prayers and hope maybe somehow, some way it hit something. One thing we can understand about this, when Jesus says pray to the Father, is that we can't be sloppy. We can't be sloppy in our praying. That's part of maturing, is learning how to pray. With all those things I mentioned, you're learning how to pray confidently and boldly. And the first thing that will put boldness in you is to know who you're talking to with confidence. Praying to the Father doesn't mean that you can't talk to Jesus. It doesn't mean you can't call on Jesus. It can't mean that you can't have some conversation. The Bible's full of the conversation with Jesus. Visions with Jesus, both in Scripture and contemporary times. But the direction of your request is to the Father. 1 John chapter 1 tells us that our fellowship is with the Father. And the further we go in these weeks to come, you'll see how all that comes together. And it's exciting. So don't get all tangled up in that. But on the other hand, now let's just go through the Scripture and let's build some things into our spiritual framework. Now, this is the way prayer works too. Apart from specifically praying the Scripture, what you see from the Word of God and what we learn about prayer, and there's chapter and verse for everything that we learn about prayer. So what we learn from the Word of God, we build that into our spiritual framework. We build that into our spiritual minds. Romans 8 talks about the mind of the Spirit and the mind of the flesh. There are things that once you build them in there, then they just rise up as part of a natural, spiritually natural way to pray. You don't have to stop and think about it because it's just built into you. On the other hand, you can lose what you've learned if you don't at times specifically practice it. So let's just look at some scriptures and build our faith in this. Look at, we're in the New Testament. Look over at John chapter 15. We read this one, I believe, last week, I think. In John 15, 16, the last part of that verse, he says, "So that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." Whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Look at next over in John 16, 23. "When the time comes, you won't need to ask me anything. I'm telling you, it's the truth. I tell you this, that my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name." Who does it come from? The Father. Who are we asking? The Father. Though it's in Jesus' name, we are asking the Father. If there were any other way, if we were to pray any other way, Jesus would have told us. He would have pointed that out. In fact, the interesting thing, this Greek word that's translated pray, even where it talks about when Jesus was praying, and he says here, telling them to pray, it's a word, and that word is used exclusively in the New Testament to pray to the Father. That's what it means, praying to the Father. Talking, communing with the Father. And so there isn't any other way. There's no other termination point. You know that sign that presidents put on their desk sometimes that say the buck stops here? Well, why would you want to fall short of the one that's got it all? Hallelujah. And it's him. But now here's a question that comes up. Why would we pray to the Father? Why wouldn't we take our request to Jesus? Why wouldn't we take our request for our needs to be met? Well, Paul said, "My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But my God shall be the one to supply." So let's look at some things here and see if we can see these things in the epistles. Now, I'm going to read a lot of these out of the King James because it words it, some out of the King James, some out of the Amplified, because it helps us with the wording. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we praise you. Thank you so much. We thank you so much. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father." Who? From who? That's right. And from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father who? Come on, class. Blessed be who? Or praise be to who? Who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Who blessed us? God did. According as He has chosen us in Him. God has chosen us in Christ. Who chose us? Who's the source here? Okay, now let's look at verse 16. The same chapter. I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Why? For I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. I always pray. I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. Now let's look at chapter 5. Verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto who? 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 God and the Father. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at Philippians chapter 1. Verse 2. Grace be unto you and peace from who? Grace and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. I thank my God who? Upon every remembrance of you. So every time he prays, every time he thinks of them, he thanks God. Now, here's something we have to be careful of. Yes, God is three in one. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But because that word God is so whatever, it's so vague, God has a name. The Father has a name. We don't know how to pronounce it because they quit pronouncing it back thousands of years ago. But we can have say Yahweh or Jehovah. We'll talk further about that. Jesus' name, Emmanuel, Yeshua. And then the Holy Spirit. So three very distinct personalities and beings. And then if we just keep it as God, well, that's why people say, well, Buddha's God, or, you know, Muhammad's God, Confucius God. It's confusing who God is when you start looking at all that. Now, this is very specific about who this is. This is God the Father, Jehovah. Hallelujah. So it's important that we recognize that and build that into our thinking and realizing have you ever talked to someone and maybe two or three people around me? If I'm just looking down here and I said, boy, y'all, you look good tonight. Well, you might want to know exactly who I'm talking to. Like, you talking to me? If I said, I'm going to give you $100 tonight, you'd be going, you talking to me? Some people over here on this end of the row are confident that's who I'm talking to. Well, he's just supposed to know who we're talking to. That's not grown up. Because the success of your prayers depend upon your faith. Maybe we'll get to touch on that sometime this course. But prayers have to be prayed in faith. And faith begins where the will of God is known. starts to all add up, doesn't it? Praise the Lord. Okay, now let's flip over to Colossians. See, I didn't want you to think we pulled this out of just a verse or two here or there. I wanted you to see that it runs all through here. Colossians 1, verse 3. We give thanks to... Say it out loud. Will you hear yourself?
God.
We give thanks to God. Say that.
We give thanks to God.
See, you got to build that into yourself. You need to hear yourself say those things. You need to remember those things so that when you start to pray, there in Ephesians, we won't look it up, but it says, praying at all times in the Spirit with every manner of prayer and with perseverance, and to that end, watch with strong purpose. Prayers that are just loosey-goosey out there, they get loosey-goosey answers. It's purpose. Purpose. Pray with a purpose. And how can you pray with a purpose if you are not purposefully talking to somebody and purposefully talking to the person that can do something about it, that can answer it? Hallelujah. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 2, we are ever giving thanks to God for all of you, continually mentioning in our prayers. We are continually giving thanks to God in our prayers. We are continually talking to God about you in our prayers. Continually, always, when we pray, we talk to God when we are talking about you. Doesn't that do something for you? What if I say to you, I've been talking to God about you. I was in the face of the Father about you. That's something. Does something. And it does something more when you begin to see that's what's going on then. I was praying for you. Well, that's good too. But boy, when you've got a picture behind it, being in the presence of the Most High. Hallelujah. Look now at chapter 5. Verse 23. And may the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through. And may your spirit and soul be preserved sound and complete. What is he doing here? He's praying. He's praying. And he's talking to God, saying this. Let's see how the King James reads in that one. May the very God of peace sanctify you, and I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body. So he's saying these things, but he's... And this is an interesting thing too. And we'll just mention this here, but I believe I'll be able to come back to it. Prayer has a two-sided function, generally speaking. There's really a lot more to it than that. But there is to God, and there is from God through you. There's prayer, there are words. Maybe I should say there are two directions of praying. You pray to God, but sometimes because you've done that, like this one's at the end of the book, right? The beginning of the book, I always thank my God, I pray for you, and all, we see the prayers that he prayed for them. Lord, I bring my church to you, bring my congregation to you. I'm thankful to you for them. These are the things I pray for them. But in that place of communion with him, I can turn and in prayer. I don't even have to be in your presence. But in the Spirit, I can turn from my place in Him towards you and say that you be whole in your spirit, that you be whole in your mind, and that you be whole in your body. So this prayer that's offered up then from me to God is then released through me from God to you. That's what happened at the end of the book. You don't get to that place if it's just, you don't know who you're talking to and you're just hoping that you hit it maybe this time. Hallelujah. But now, did you notice in these verses, and there are a lot of others, how many times God and the Father are mentioned together? Well, there are actually 40 times in the epistles where in the same phrase, God the Father, God the God and Father, either talking about prayer or God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, but talks about it over and over. Why? Because, you remember we talked about this last week, the Old Testament and the New Testament, where new doesn't mean, okay, we're through with that, now we have something else. No, it means, you might be able to, you might say it better if it was first and then next, or initially and then, meaning an addition to that comes out from a tree, but then a branch of the tree. Didn't the Bible tell us in Isaiah that there is a branch that sprang out of the root of Jesse? Well, Jesus is that branch that came out of that root. You came out of that. He's the branch. What are you? You're the vine. You're what comes off of that. You bear the fruit. So the revelation of God is progressive. You can't go to the New Testament alone and understanding who you're praying to and mature in it. All because you realize all of these people that wrote these books were, they weren't just Jewish, just the fact that they were Jewish. They were spiritual Jews. They understood the Old Testament. They had it drilled into them, especially the Apostle Paul. So he never mistook that. It was always God first. It was always a revelation of God. The new comes out of the old. Jesus then revealed God as the Father to us because it couldn't be revealed that way in the Old Testament. The only idea they had of God as Father really was by right of creation, by right of separation. He was the father of the Jewish nation. Abraham was their father. They said that. But no concept of God as a father. David got some insights into it in the Psalms, and that's because of his office of the prophet. He saw into something that really wasn't yet available in fullness to him. But if you don't have that Old Testament revelation of Jehovah, then you don't know who your father is. You don't know anything about him. You might understand him by name. You might have been told that he's your father, but you don't know him. Leviticus 10:3, I think, sums it up from the New King James, and it says, "By those who come near to me, I must be regarded as holy. I must be glorified." Hebrews tells us, he said in 11:5 says that he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. It's a two-part revelation. You must believe that he is God. He is God. He is God. Then you can begin to understand him as the rewarder. Who is God? He's holy. What is holy? To be holy is to be separate. And God is totally separate. Totally, absolutely holy. Totally holy. There is no sin in him. There is no darkness in him. There is not even a shadow of turning in him. There is no fear in him. There is no weakness in him. And he never changes. He is absolute light. No darkness in him at all. He is absolute life. There's no death in him at all. He is absolutely pure. And he is absolute purity. What do I mean by that? Well, he is totally 100% pure in himself, but there is no purity outside of him. He is absolutely good, but he is absolute goodness. Hallelujah. He is mercy. He is compassion. But he is also power. He is also strength. He is wisdom. He knows all, and he knows it all the time. He sees everything. He sees you. He sees every part and operation of you. He sees every cell. He sees every atom. He sees every molecule. He sees everything. He knows everything you think, everything you say, everything you do, and he knows it all. He never forgets any of it, and he knows it all the time. He abides in all the ages, the Bible says. He exists in yesterday. He exists in today. And he already exists in tomorrow. And yet he exists before time ever was. And he exists beyond the end of time should it ever come. He is everything. Everything that was ever created. Everything. Everything that was ever created in heaven, on the earth, or in any universe is an expression of some part of him. He is as infinitely small as he is infinitely big. There's no end in either direction because there's nothing finite about him. When he uncovers himself from his hiding place, his presence is so fierce that men lose all their mortal strength. When righteousness himself descended on Mount Sinai, the earth could barely hold together under the weight of it. When the thermal power of that glory from heaven slammed into the cold darkness of the curse that surrounded this earth, there was a storm that erupted that shook that mountain with a shaking that could be felt as deeply as it could be seen or heard. And the lightnings and that exploded out from the mountain. And the power and the sound of heaven coming in contact with earth. God's presence touched the dirt and it erupted in such a noise and an explosion of noise that the people said, "Oh, Moses, you tell him, you go up there. We can't take it. he? Who is he? The scripture declares that he is the Almighty. He is the creator of all living things. He is the eternal God. He is the eternal King. He is the King of all nations. He's the God of the earth. He's the God of the armies and the hosts of heaven. He is the God of all mankind. He is the Holy One of Israel. He is the Ancient of Days. He is the Judge. He is God of all gods. He is the Most High God. And yet He is God, your shepherd. He is God, your provider. He is God, your peace. He's God, your healer. He's God, your righteousness. He's God, your defender. He is God, who is with you. He's God, Almighty God. He has a name, and His name is Jehovah. And there is no God like Jehovah. And Jesus comes along, and to all these Jewish minds who have studied and pored and meditated and thought on and quoted, and whose very, very permission in society revolved around this idea of God. And to fear God, and to know that He is awesome. And Jesus said to them, their minds that they understood that, but then He says to them, let me introduce you to God. He's your Father. Now talk to Him that way. And they thought, you better show us how to do that. How would we know that they would think that? Because nothing angered the instructors, the teachers of the day, more, nothing more than Jesus to call this Almighty God Father. Because in their minds, if you said Father, that means you're like Him. And how dare you? How dare you address Him as Father? Jesus said, it's your Father. It's God. Father, I'll talk to Him that way. And so they didn't know how to do that. So Jesus said to them, well, when you pray, go into your closet. Oh, I found a rich, rich, rich little understanding today. The word closet, in the Greek, it means a storage chamber where the secret treasures are stored. Where are your secrets stored? Where do you keep your secrets? The Bible says Mary pondered these things in her heart. You go into your heart. They had been so trained to see God so far out there that it's just out there. Jesus said, no, it's not out there. Look in here. go to the secret place. He who dwells in the secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Go to the secret place. From this sacred place where treasures are stored, he said, you pray to your Father, and he sees the secret. He knows the secret place. He sees the secret place. And then he will reward out in the open. In Luke, it records that they said to him, show us. Show us the way John showed his disciples. Teach us this. Don't just talk to us about it. Teach us this. And now I'm going to teach it to you. Oh, my Father, you, Lord, as grateful as I am for my Heavenly Father, I'm more grateful, Lord, for you. Oh, God, I'm so grateful that you, who are in heaven, are still, you're my Father. And you've made heaven my welcome home. My God. Lord, your name is so precious. When I think about your name, God, Jehovah, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, eternal God, almighty God, eternal King, Ancient of Days. But Lord, when you summed all that up and you said, now, I'm your God. Your name became holy to me. You said, I'll be almighty for you. You said, I'll be righteousness for you. I'll be health for you. I'll be glorious for you. I'll be strong for you. And so, God, that your name is so holy to me. There isn't any name like that name. Lord, your kingdom, that realm where all is like you want it to be, where everything is like you want it to be. I want it to be in me. My first prayer, Lord, is to be in your kingdom. And I pray that your kingdom would be in me. I pray, Lord, that your way of doing things and your way of being right, Lord, that would be in my life. I want to do things your way. I want to be like you. So I humble myself before you. I choose not to go my way, but to go your way. Your will, not my will. Your will be done in my life. Whatever, Lord, whatever that might be, whatever that means, whatever that cost me, no price I could pay could even come close to being worth all that you give, all that you are, and all that you share. Not just in this life, Lord, but oh my, the life that's to come. Oh. thank you that even when I fall short of that kingdom, when I'm not as good as you, when I don't do it your way, because I'm stubborn, or Lord, even because I don't know, you have never said to me, "Well, you just get what you deserve." But you've always forgiven me. You've never asked me to pay for my sin. And Lord, I don't ever want to cut that off. I don't ever want to push love away. I don't ever want to push that forgiveness away. Without it, Lord, I'm not in your kingdom. Without it, Lord, I'm not walking in it. I'm not living in it. Without it, Lord, I can't see your kingdom. And so, Lord, I'll forgive. I'll forgive. I'll forgive. I'll forgive like you forgive. I'll love like you love. I don't want to turn it away. So I'll love like you love. Oh, Lord, I'll be a creature of love. I'll show your love. I'll demonstrate your love. You keep showing me, Lord. You help me. And I know, Father, I'm so confident in you, that if I just ask today for the provision, you give it. Never withhold it. You give it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. No, Lord, one of the most wonderful things about you that I know is the way you lead me. Lord, you might send me directly in confrontation with trouble, but I know it's because you are confident in what you've put in me and that you're with me. I know, Lord, that you never lead me into a temptation. But where you lead me always takes me straight through it, and you deliver me from the evil one. You never deposit me in the presence of temptation. You never do that, Lord. You always lead me through. You always cause me to triumph. You always lead me in victory. So I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of where you'll lead me. I'm not afraid of where you'll take me. Oh, no. Because we'll go together. We'll go together. I'll follow you, Lord, wherever you say to go. Because I trust you. Never give me up to the enemy. Because your kingdom is full of power. And your kingdom is full of glory. And is full of glory now. And is full of glory forever. And there is nothing. There is no trial, no temptation. There's no pressure. There's no device. There's no weapon formed against me that can prosper, because you are God, you are my God, and you are my Father, and you love me. Hallelujah. To you be all the honor. And to you be all the glory. And to you be all the power and strength that I have to give. now and forever. Amen. Amen. It's good to know what your father does for a living. It's good to know who you're talking to. So we wind this up. Just another, you give me one more minute? Just one. I want you to bow your head and I just want you to say something to God. Know who you're talking to. Go ahead, just you. Just whisper it out loud to yourself. Or you can hear it, but to God. Jeff, could you come? Just you. Now I want to teach you a little trick out of all this. To close your eyes. And I want you to pray in tongues. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, it says, he that prays in an unknown tongue speaks not to men, but to God. Ode este kea tostana. Lord, agregis to kondeve, edo diste ke tinoro moze, ade asolsta, ade estale. Lord, egligivatono. Lord, egrigivastungarashtayata. The Bible says you give thanks well when you pray in tongues. So out of your heart, find gratitude and begin to thank God in tongues to Him. Let your heart praise Him in tongues. To Him space. In His space, talk to Him. Lord, ingrigisunderigishtaka. Lord, let's go ahead and have Darwin come. Just the two of you. Darwin. Or, yeah, Robo Deshteke. And donde? Lord, egregison in inishta karagayana. And led avrado songerele kiata. And you are romba dashta keata. And you are krisakleke finonosteti. And beyond over under a single te. And you are ronda stole marangadista ka. And you are greatest all of ronda ragastanza and zombara tashta. And with my heart a Christo glege barasto sta. And with my mind I've ronda a lekiso de. And with my mouth I've rado colebrasto ke. And with my being, I glega vrondos te kesta tanadatista ta. And with all that I have, randosa la labadrosta kastata. I exalt the abrondasta karabashta. And with all there is within me, Lord, I exalt you. 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 Oh God, I exalt you. I exalt you. I exalt you, oh God. I exalt you. I exalt thee. Sing it to Brados da Kenna.
I exalt thee.
Just don't go on the pick it up.
I exalt.
this time tonight. We thank you, Lord, that in our prayers and in our life and in our vital experience tonight, we have exalted you with all our heart, Lord. Lord, we thank you now for the witness of the Holy Spirit that will lead and guide us back, Lord, to the very place of your presence, to know you and to see you, Lord, God Almighty, and to know and see you as Lord, our Father. Lord, we ask that our eyes be opened and enlightened, that, Lord, we might have understanding and to know the glory that you have deposited in us, that we might have intimate knowledge of you, Lord, as Paul prayed for us and as he prayed. I'm going to pray this over you, and with this prayer, you'll be dismissed. Prayer ministers, if you would come forward. Hallelujah. I pray in faith to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he would grant to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation of insight into the mysteries and secrets of the deep and intimate knowledge of him, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light so that you can know, so that you can understand the hope to which he has called you, and how rich is his glorious inheritance that he has in the saints, his set apart ones, and that's you. So that you can understand the immeasurable, unlimited, and surpassing greatness of his power, which is in you and working for you because you have believed. It's the same power that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority, far above power and dominion, not only in this age and this world, but also in the age and the world which are to come. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, you go tonight and you go in the presence of God, your Father. Amen.